The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer and the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. Chris, hope you had a lovely 4th.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet. How about you, man?
That was awesome. Great time of year. Great time. It's celebratory. And it leads up to training camp. But look, we haven't spoken in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And we have some really cool Twitter followers, Chris. You want to tell them about your experience?
Yeah, well, one of them invited me to, Dave Gingrich invited me to Sean O'Hara's charity event, you know, which was a great time. Sean O'Hara has been doing this for years. He raises money to fight cystic fibrosis, you know. And he does a hell of a job, and it was an honor to be there, Jerry. I put it on Twitter. I put it on Twitter, Jerry, to make people aware of it. I'm sure a lot of people don't know what Sean does, right? Everybody knows Sean O'Hara,
right?
But I'm sure a lot of people don't realize how much work this guy does.
Yep.
As far as raising money, and you know, and look, Jerry, I was talking to Sean for a bit, and just quickly, you know, he came across a kid years ago who has cystic fibrosis, not a family member, just a boy. I'm not exactly sure, we'll clarify that, how he knew this boy, but we'll clarify it down the road. But, you know, he was taken by Sean and he decided to be involved in raising money, you know, for cystic fibrosis, you know.
That's awesome.
And it's pretty awesome what Sean does because, look, Jerry, most of the time, like Boomer Esiason, most of the time it's like a family member, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, and obviously, you know, you have a personal relation to the cause, right? This was somebody that Sean knew. Okay, don't get me wrong. You know, a lot of people, like, after a couple of years, okay, it's, you know, maybe you lose contact. You know, it's not a family member, whatever it might be. But O'Hara stuck with this for years, man.
Yeah.
And it was an honor to be a part of it, you know.
That speaks volumes of the kind of guy O'Hara is, right?
Yeah, which, you know, look, I was talking to, you know, to Sean on the side about it, and, you know, his foundation, how he came, you know, why he did it and all that, and you know, it was just a great, you know, it shows the character of the dude, man.
Yeah,
seriously. I mean, he's been doing this, and you know, he wanted to get it out there more, and he wants to use social media to raise more money for this, you know, for this cause, Jerry. And I tell you what, man, like you said, Jerry, you know, it shows the character of somebody. You know, it's easy when everybody's on top and he's winning Super Bowls and everybody kisses his butt. Hey, Sean, you're the greatest, you know.
Right.
Yeah, great job, you know, all of that. Yo, great block for Brandon Jacobs and that Super Bowl, you know, all that crap, you know.
Yeah, right.
But when you see what Sean does and how he continuously promotes the battle against cystic fibrosis, you know.
It was
really nice to see, dude. You know, guys like David Tyree there, and even Sterling Sharp, people from NFL Network throwing their support out for the cause.
That's awesome.
And it was just a great day. I was proud to be a part of it. You know, Jerry, to be honest with you, you know, play a little golf over there and where Sean had it, and it was a great day, dude. And I'm hope to do it down the road, and we're going to use social media, obviously, the Giant Insider and all our great followers, Jerry. You know, we know we have like a, in my opinion, Jerry, we have probably the best following going, dude.
It's
like a family. A lot of people, it really is, dude. It's like a family, you know.
You said it totally is. Like, it's an extended family, and when you know they experience joy, they put it out there. You're like, hey, congrats, that's awesome. And then when they experience heartache, you're like, you almost feel it. You know, it's like your family just, you know, expanded by 30,000, right? Almost 30,000 now. And it's interesting, like you get. The people that reach out to us, we don't, you know, talk about all the time, but the DMs that we get where people reach out and invite us places and this and that, it's awesome. I mean, thank you so much to everybody. I was joking, Giants Carb Crush. He practically invited me to a family gathering, you know, like at the shore. I'm just like, these guys are great. And so it's just very good people, very nice people. But Who else did you meet there? I'm curious at the outing.
Giants wise, you know, Giants wise, you know, I was with David Tyree for a little bit. We were talking, you know, about some stuff, and Tyree's a great dude, man. Yeah, you know, Dave. You know, I ran into Tyree when he was working for the Giants in locker room a couple of years ago. He was always around.
Yeah,
and you know what, Jerry, we all know what happened with David with the catch. He'll be famous for it forever.
Yeah.
Right. 30 years from now on NFL Network, Jerry, they'll have a highlight. Yeah. And when they replay, that's right. They'll be talking about that catch. And there's no doubt about it. Right.
Yeah.
And you would never know it, Jerry, that Tyree is, forget about Giant Nation, right? Giants fans nation, right? Forget about that. Right. He'll always be an icon, right? He'll always be a hero because of that catch. But he's like an NFL cult hero, right? If you think about it, I mean, when they talk about greatest catches in Super Bowls, the greatest moments, Tyree's going to pop up.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
But you would never know it, dude. Just a humble dude. Great dude. I didn't even talk about the catch like that. We'll just talk about, you know, Sean's cause.
Yeah.
Some things about the Giants, you know, what he thinks, how he feels for the team and, you know, about the team coming up. But, you know, Tyree's just such a good dude, bro. There's no other way to say it. He's just a good
dude. I mean, if that was me, I'd walk around with a football, like, attached. But that was the catch, right?
Like,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I talked to David a few times when he was around the building, you know, over the years, and Jerry, and obviously I was on a side with him at the golf tournament, talking to him. And Jerry, you would never know this thing happened to him, man. He's just talking about, you know, what he's trying to get going. And, Jerry, just a good dude. Hey, Chris, you know, take my cell number. We'll bullshit, you know? Okay. Cool. No, Dave, I don't want it, you know? No, you know, okay, Dave, you know? I mean, just a good dude like that. So, listen, look, another guy. And look, Jerry, here's another guy I'm going to talk about. And I got to know a little bit. And then now we'll be talking, you know, a little bit more. Richie Seibert, okay? Jerry, here's a guy. Now, guys like you, the fans, right? Mm. We all appreciated what he put for what he gave to this team, right, Jerry?
Undrafted free agent, snapped his leg in two places, and went on to be one of the best. What? Best?
So underrated. A guy came from no school.
Yep.
Earned everything he got, right, Jerry? Starting on an offensive line and win Super Bowl.
Yep.
And here's a guy, Jerry, Richie Seibert, who thinks, like, when I talk to him and I say, "Yo, Rich, you know, Giant fans, they love you, dude." Yeah. Nah. Rich, what do you mean, nah?
Yeah, I don't think that. Sometimes, I don't think they realize it. That's insane. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, Jerry, you're right. You know, and it's like, well, you know, I was just a left guard. You had Eli, and, you know, you had, you know, the plaques back then and all those guys, right, Jerry? And Brandon. And I look at him, and I go, and he's dead serious. And I found out from other people too that when you tell him, Jerry, right, when you say, "Rich, Giant fans really appreciated your shit, bro. They know the effort you gave. They love lunch pail guys like you. They love the feisty. They love guys that come from out of nowhere. And here they are, a key cog on an offensive line and wins a Super Bowl, right?"
Yep, yeah.
And he just looks at him and goes, and Jerry, he just looks at him and he goes, "Yeah, really?" I'm like, "Yeah, really."
Dude, hey, Rich, do you know that the Giant fan knows what the offensive line is like for the past 8-10 years? Like, I mean, talk about appreciated. Like, Giant fans, if there's a fan base in America that appreciates what they once had, it would be Giant fans. I mean, these guys should know this, man.
Yeah. But the point being how humble a dude is, Jerry, right? Like, I was no big deal. You know, I was just out there giving you some snaps. No. It was more than that, you know?
No, way more.
You know, Giant fans love you. And you know what, Jerry? That's the type of guy he is. He's just like, I was no big deal. No, you were, Rich. And that's why I do that on Twitter, Jerry. I wanted him to get the feedback from people. Feedback? Oh, Rich, what are you talking? Rich is our favorite. Rich is one of, we love Rich. You know, I wanted him to get the feedback, you know?
Right.
Like, Rich, you think I'm fooling around with you, Rich? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You think I'm blowing smoke up your butt? I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Rich. I'm going to throw something on Twitter. And when 20 people, 25 people respond, "No, he was one of our favorites. Oh, we loved you." Maybe you'll stop believing me then. You know?
Yeah.
That's the guy he is. Mind you, Jerry, he looks like he could start like tomorrow, by the way. He still looks like he could start tomorrow.
Right, right.
Okay? So, yeah, it's just great. Look, and it's just, you know, good talking to guys like that.
Otis Anderson too, right?
Otis was there, you know. Yeah, nice. Otis was the usual Otis. All right, so just a quick story about Otis.
Yeah.
Giant fans love him. He walks in a room, everybody starts chanting MVP at the golf tournament. It's great, right? <That's awesome. laughs> He gives a little wave, everybody's MVP, you see MVP, right? Okay. So Otis is the usual Otis, great dude, funny guy, you know. Just to show you, we're talking about character, Jerry.
Yeah.
Show you what kind of character OJ Anderson is. I'm in a foursome with a guy who played with him on the St. Louis Cardinals in 82, 83, and 84.
Okay.
A guy by the name of Gene Stallings, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was on the strike
team. Not the coach guy.
So he was on the strike. He was a scab, let's face it. I mean, he was a guy who came in, right? Okay, sure. So everybody hated them in 82, right, when they went on strike.
Yeah.
The players come back. Everybody plays basically hate the guys that played, that stepped in, and the whole deal. Right, Jerry? We know the deal. Well, if you don't, for younger, you know, obviously I shouldn't say that. Younger people that these guys played with the uniforms on while the real players went on strike, right?
Right, right.
They come back. They throw them out. Players hate them. Get out of here. We don't want to talk to you, right? Stallings, this guy, was a guy who played a little special teams. And O.J. Anderson befriended him and liked the way he played. Management was basically like, nah, get him out of here, right? Coaching staff, get him out of here. OJ goes to the organization, vouches for him, says, no. Now, don't forget, OJ was a big time back then.
Yeah, sure.
The Cardinals. One of the best in the league, right?
Right.
He was one of the best in the league, no question, right? He goes to the organization, goes to the man, no, I want you to give this guy another look. This guy could play with us. OJ, okay. So OJ carried weight, vouched for the guy. The guy makes the team, plays for the car. Know what he was, Jerry? And trust me, he wasn't kidding because I played with the guy for 18 holes. He could barely walk. He could barely turn his hips on a drive. He was a wedge buster, dude, on special teams.
Yeah, God. Jeez.
That we all know that was ruled out, what, Jerry, about 5-6 years ago now, whatever it is. I guess around then, whatever. I don't know exactly. It's right around 5-6, whatever it is, right? You can't just go into a line and sacrifice your body, right?
Right.
On a special teams kickoff.
Yeah.
This is what he did.
Unreal.
And Jerry, but the point being, so he's telling us a story, and he said Otis kept in touch with him all these years, made sure he was okay. Right? Make sure he got his money, Jerry, after the strike ended, because there was some finagling going on back then with the scare players.
Yeah.
Right? And he, you know, he told Otis, you know, that, hey, I got no money, man. And they're going to throw him. Otis made sure he got paid. Played with him 3 years, Jerry. Otis kept in touch with him every year, made sure he was good, made sure his family was good. Invites him to everything. He was there at this tournament courtesy of Otis, you know?
Yeah.
Shows you, and he went on, this guy went on to become a police officer in Morristown, I believe, for 26 years. And Otis, to this day, talks to him 3-4 times a week, whatever it might be. So, Jerry, you know, it's little things like that. Yeah, we all know what Otis did in the Super Bowl. We all know he's, in our opinion, right, Jerry, a Hall of Famer running back,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah, he's inviting us. He's inviting us when he gets inducted, remember?
Yeah, which I reminded him.
Yeah, no, you have to.
So, just to show, you know, Jerry, you know, you could run for your 10,000 yards, Super Bowl MVPs. That means you're a football man, but that doesn't mean you're a man in real life, dude.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
When you see things like that, and Otis doesn't hang a sign on his head saying, oh, I vouch for this guy. You know what I mean? You would never know it. The guy, I played golf with the guy. That's why the guy was telling me the story. You know what I mean?
Right.
But things like that, and you say, see, that's a character of a dude. That's a character of a dude. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, I'm better than you. I'm Otis Anderson. You're a guy who came in during the strike. Now get lost. You know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. He's a guy that went to the organization, vouched for the guy. Felt he should be on the team, and they were ready to launch him.
Yeah.
So it's great. No, you know, look, we got to know Otis. You know, I saw him. Obviously, you saw him the other day, Jeff, but we got to know him over the years a little bit, right? We know what kind of guy Otis is.
Yeah, I was going to say, it makes it easier to root for them. Like, it's one thing. Yeah. They were great Giants, like you said, an MVP, all that. Like him, guys like Eli Manning, when you find out more about them, you're like, man, what a good person, like, to do that for somebody and to keep in touch. Just like you said, it shows a lot of character.
Yeah, it shows you what type of person the dude is, man. Yep. It really is, you know. Yep. So it was good to look. I talked to Sean Ohara, like I said, Jerry, on the side. We'll talk about his thing. And Sean Ohara, you can't get more of a stand-up guy than Sean. Listen, Jerry, one of the perks of this job, as you know, dude, is you get to know these guys. Forget about football.
Right.
Forget about talking. So, Sean, what about that third and seven? Nah. You get to know these guys on a personal level.
Right.
Some guys, it's like, well, you know, all right. You know?
Yeah, right.
And then, yeah, you know, right. You know, look, I've run into some guys in a locker room, and it's like, all right, you know.
Have a good one.
Oh, you know.
Good luck. See you out there.
It's the weirdest thing because, you know, a lot of people have Jackrabbit labeled a certain way, you know, and here I am playing one-on-one basketball with him in the locker room one time. You know what I mean?
Right. Make it, right?
No, I get a towel. Right? So, well, you might have, I'm not going to get into that.
Sorry.
The point being is that some guys, you're like, you know, all right.
Yeah.
And then some guys you get to know and you talk, forget about football, and you get to know the person. You see what some of these guys do, the charity work they do.
Yeah,
you know, Jerry, things they do for their friends, things they take care of for people.
Yeah,
it's one of the perks of the job, my friend, as you know, yeah. Mr. Foley. Yeah. It's one of the perks of the job. So it was just a great day, dude. Only thing it was like 155 degrees. It felt like out there, but other than that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I was, you know, playing golf in a desert, you know.
I was going to say, a couple times after the podcast, I texted Mark Bavaro the time we interviewed him. And then like a day later, he texted me all out of the blue. And I thought, oh, my God. Like, it's one thing to respond like, yeah, no, or whatever. Give one. But he asked, hey, we kind of knew some of the same people. And he sent me a text. And it's hilarious. It's the stuff like we always talk about, like, would have been cool to, I'm sure our dads see it, but it would have been cool to kind of share their stories. Because, like, you get to know these guys and you're like, I don't believe this. This is hilarious. This is awesome.
Yeah. So. And you know what, Jerry? You get to know some of these guys that you kind of, before, you're a little hesitant going in saying, well, this guy's got a reputation of being this, right? Bavaro was a prime example.
Yep.
I was texting with Mark the other day, you know? Yeah. Yep. And he's texting back, Chris, stay well. I hope you're good. Hope to see you soon. And you, before we went into the interview with Mark, it was like,
is he gonna
you would never
anything?
Think he was like that. He'd be like, oh, right. This guy's just like, you know, until he knows you, it's like, get lost, you know?
Or he's going to give us one word. Right, player.
You know? Right. But Jerry, getting back to the O'Hara thing. So it was a great thing, man. I'm not sure how much money he raised, but it was crowded. You know, and a lot of guys were there, people from NFL, everybody contributed. Auction stuff, Jerry raised a lot of money with that. It was a good day, dude, for a very good cause.
I got a gift coming, baby.
Well, can I tell you something?
You got outbid.
You're not getting it, bud.
Oh, isn't that cool? Isn't that nice?
It came today. I opened it up. Right, Jerry?
Yeah.
There's Lawrence with Parcells with his arm around him.
Yeah.
And it's signed by Lawrence and Bill. And I looked at him, right, Jerry, and I said, oh, God, I don't know if Jerry's going to get this one.
Yeah, like, you know? Like, obviously, why would I give this to Jerry? That's so funny.
Well, look, folks, what we're getting at is that, you know, I'm not a big collector. I got a few things, but Jerry's obviously the big collector. He's got the man cave with all the Giants stuff. And I wanted to bid on something for the charity, and I wound up winning. And I told Jerry, I said, Jerry, whatever I get, it's yours, you know?
Yeah.
And then, folks, I bid on a Lawrence Taylor, Bill Parcells picture, and Lawrence and Bill signed it. And it's a great picture of Bill's arm around Lawrence and coming off the field, obviously, after the victory. They're both smiling. And I looked at it, it came today in the mail. I'm standing there going, oh, I'm going to have to text Jerry. And I forgot we were doing a pod. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to text Jerry. He said, Jerry, I don't quite know you're going to get this one.
I'll just say this. That's the start of – there's worse things to be addicted to. But, you know, once you start and then you're like, I need something over there. I need something for Banks. What about Carson? Well, I've got all three. I need reasons. So, anyway.
It's a really good picture, Jerry. The frame is incredible. So I hate to tell you, my friend, but it might not be heading over to Robinson.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. That's hilarious. So. All right, dude. Camp coming up. I keep looking at the defense. I'm getting more and more excited by the day. As you get farther and farther removed from the season, you forget anything bad that you saw. But it's hard not to get excited about what this defense can do. And from what you said, I don't know if it was two pods ago, with Patrick Graham and what he's going to be able to do with you know, all the plethora of talent that he has now in the secondary. He's going to be able to play more man. So, dude.
So I'm looking over to Jerry. I'm watching. You know, I'm a big Graham guy. And, you know, as we both feel, this defense could do some good things this year, right? We feel.
Right.
I think I speak for you in this. We feel we could be a top 10 D. Agree?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's the way I feel. They finished 12th last year with basically a couple of tomatoes on one end, on one corner, right?
Right.
Although Isaac gave him some good snaps, even Ryan Lewis at times. I hate to say tomato, but I think Adoree Jackson is going to be an upgrade. Is that fair to say?
Slightly.
We finished 12th overall. We add some pieces, right? We draft some kids and all that. We'll get to the draft. We want to talk about a little bit how the rookie class is going to impact this team.
Right.
And you know, I'm looking at film, right, Jerry? And I'm looking at schemes that Graham's doing. I'm looking at some. So I'm going across the Tampa Bay game yesterday, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
And I said, I zero in on a third and five on a 19. Brady's in the shotgun. And I put it on. I said, I got to put this on Twitter. Right? Gronk comes off the line. Pep's got him. Logan brackets him. And I'm like, I mean, you know Tom's thinking Gronk. If he doesn't have that, I don't remember exactly right now. If he doesn't have that Evans one-on-one, he's thinking Gronk, right?
Right.
Red zone. He's thinking his old boy, his boy Gronk. And I'm saying to myself, I'm watching the play over and over. I'm like, look at this, man. We actually have a coordinator to say, you know what? Tom might be looking for Gronk here, so let's bracket him. Let somebody else beat us, you know what I mean? Unlike the previous years when we let Jason Witten, let's put a strong safety on him. You know, as Witten turns around, a seven-yard stop, seven-yard drop, you know, boom. Touchdown, right?
Yeah, right.
So, Jerry, call me a buffoon. I am a buffoon. We know that. But I looked at it and I said, oh, man, I was so excited. I said, look at, and I started watching previous games. You know, Jerry, look at what Graham. Look, Graham doesn't want this guy to beat him. You know what I mean? Jerry, it's Belichickian.
Yeah.
Right? You go into a game playing like, all right, I'm going to get this one guy in the red zone and he's not going to beat me.
Right. It's going to have to be somebody else, right?
Let it be somebody else, right, Jerry?
Yeah. Yeah,
we know the famous story in the Super Bowl where Belichick comes to the sidelines. He doesn't want Hakeem. He doesn't want.
It's a Knicks game. Right. Let them go to Manningham.
Right. All right, so they did go to Manningham, and it worked out for the Giants. But that happens. Bill will settle for that. Belichick.
Well, look what it.
Right.
Look what it took.
Yeah,
that's the best throw of all time.
Right, one of the best throws of all time, Super Bowl history by Eli. Right.
Right.
I mean, listen. Basically, the Tyree play was a prayer. This was an orchestrated back shoulder throw to Manningham, right?
Right. Insane.
And if you ask Belichick, if we had Bill in a pod right now, it would be a Bill. Were you happy with that result? No, it was a great throw, but that's what we wanted. That's what he would say, right? We wanted Mario to beat us, right? So I'm looking at him like, oh, Graham, thank you, Graham. You know, let's just not let a tight end destroy us. You know, you know he's going to look for Gronk there. It's called game planning, Jerry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's called game planning. So I was happy about that. So Jerry, we expect the top 10 defense. There's two things. Let's get into it a little bit. I think you're going to see. Look, Dexter Lawrence was the number one pick. Mm-hmm. He's got to play, and he's played well this year. Don't get me wrong. He's got to play even better this year, Jerry, because he was the number one pick, dude. What was he 17th overall, Jerry?
17 overall. 17. Yep.
All right. So he's got to play. In other words, what I'm saying, step it up another level. Your 17th overall pick. We want you playing like a 17th overall pick. And Jerry, I think he will. What do you think about Dexter Lawrence?
It's a good point because he gets overshadowed by the pick in the first round and DeAndre Baker, right? So DeAndre Baker didn't work out. Jones are still, you know, high hopes, but still waiting on. It gets overshadowed by that. Look, he's played well, but you're right. I expect something. I shouldn't say this, but I'm sorry, but I'm expecting something closer to someone like Fletcher Cox. I want a player like that, right? I'm not asking for, you know, the greatest in the league, but I want, you know, I want him to be a top five interior lineman, right? I'm not asking for Aaron Donald here, but I'm expecting him to take a step forward and become a player like Cox and become more of a force on the inside. I mean, he's been good, but you just want him to step up. That's all.
Yeah. Jerry, you want impact.
Right.
You want to look at a game
right,
and say, whoa, 97 with another play.
Right.
97 with another TFL. You know what I mean? That's what you're looking for, Jerry, you know?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, dude, I put this on Twitter like weeks ago. I think you're going to see it. I think you're going to see Dexter take it to another level this year where he's going to have a huge impact on this line. Yeah. Huge. You know? So
yeah, it's a time step up. It is.
Right. Just like, just kick into another gear. Right?
Yeah.
Another level now. Third year, 17th overall pick in, you know, a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. Get into another level.
Right.
And I think he will, Jerry. I really believe that you will see that this year at a big Dex, you know? You know, Leo coming back. Jerry, I like the free agent sign for Minnesota, Abednego, is going to be a good signing. I like him on the edge, Jerry. I like Austin Johnson. I like Leo. You know what I mean? I like what they're bringing back. I know Dalvin. I understand that. But to me, they're fine up front. You know what I mean? So, Jerry, one good sign with the Giants is that, you know, this is the time of year where I write for the insider, right, Jerry? Matchups to watch. Camp battles, right? Camp battles. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. You know what, Jerry? I found four. Usually, Jerry, I go from like 8 to 5, right?
It's a really good point, yeah.
So I write an article. I have a ton of them. I say, okay, let me narrow it down to these five. I'll give this to Jerry. You know, this would be good, even though there could be a few more I could write about, right?
Right.
Jerry, this year, it was 4, okay? And maybe I could have squeezed out a 5, but it was 4, Jerry. Now, is that a good sign, dude?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good sign. Normally,
camp battles to watch. The entire team. All of them. Every battle. Right. Pick the best. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this year, there was a couple on the right side, offensive line, you know, inside linebacker next to Blake, you know, stuff like that, Jerry. And that's what it was. It wasn't like, it wasn't like cornerback battle, you know, and a slot, Jerry. Yeah, and with this, I'm very high on this Aaron Robinson kid. Okay.
Now you have every right to be.
And so Jerry, you know what? That'll lead us right into this. Let's get into this draft pick. All right. We'll talk about Aaron. I have him down as a slot battle with Darnay Holmes. Right. So, hey, look, I'm high in this kid. I think this kid Robinson is going to make an impact. Now we'll see in 3 weeks, Jerry, when they start putting the pads on and they start, you know, practicing hard and all that. Right.
Right. Right.
But I like him, dude. I like him. I think he's in a battle. Darnay Holmes played well at times last year in 300-something snaps, whatever it was. Struggled at times in coverage. But this kid Robinson could be something that they keep an eye on, Jerry.
You know, because of McKinney being hurt all year, I think we both agree that Darnay Holmes was probably their best rookie last year. And to think that they already got some guy who may beat him out in the slot, right? And you're hoping that, look, you're obviously hoping that Andrew Thomas and Parrott and we already know McKinney's going to takes the next step, but it's just interesting that Darnay Holmes last year was our best rookie, and he may be beaten out already by a kid that they're ecstatic about getting in the third round. So that speaks to the depth of that secondary, man. I cannot wait to see what he does with that secondary. I'm so excited. I want to see where McKinney is. I'm sure there's going to be times where he's in the slot, where he's deep, and my God, it's going to be so much fun. God, just stay healthy. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, and you know the way Graham uses these guys, you know. You could see Robinson in a slot one play. You could see him on the outside one other play. You know, McKinney, like you said, they're versatile guys, man. Versatility, man. Yeah. You know, McKinney will be in the slot one play. But it'd be interesting to see if Darnay wins the battle where he gets more snaps than Aaron Robinson. And then as the season moves along, you know.
Right.
Not seeing who, sort of like a Lemieux Hernandez scenario where Hernandez was getting the snaps, and then he gets a little cold, and then Lemieux starts outplaying him a little bit, and then Lemieux winds up getting more snaps than Hernandez. So some battle like
if you wrote it already, don't tell me.
I wrote it already.
Who do you have winning the edge, or do you not? Did you put that or no?
No.
Because it's Ojulari and Carter.
No, I got X-Man and Carter right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right. Looking at them in minicamp, they were the number ones right now. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Now,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I got them as, yeah, I got them as the number ones. And then obviously Ojulari, we'll see how the camp progresses, you know. But right now I had them as number one.
Yeah, because that's one, that's another one that there's question marks, but I'm excited about everything, right? I'm excited about, all right, well, Zimmen has stepped forward. Carter's coming back and looked good in his brief time last year in this defense, right? He was looked like he was ready to kind of, you know, break out. And you drafted Ojulari. You brought in Odenebo. You have Carter Coughlin coming back. I don't want to forget Cam Brown. Like, there's a lot of guys there, and it's a lot of talent. Just don't know who's going to be the two guys. Like you said, right now it's Zimmen and Carter, but we'll wonder, like you just said about Holmes, as the season goes on, Ojulari is going to get more and more time, hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. X-Man, look, this is a big year for X-Man, right?
Yep.
You know, he was hurt last year and all that. I could tell at mini camp, at the mandatory mini camp, that he's going to go into camp at, you know, as a one, you know,
right,
with Lorenzo Carter opposite.
Right.
And then I'm going to call him Aziz because I keep getting tongue-tied his last
name. Yeah.
And Aziz, you know, he'll be working his way in, you know.
Nice.
As the camp moves along. Don't forget, Jerry, you know, those preseason games are going to be big this year, man. They'll get their reps.
I always watch preseason, but I'm really going to be so excited to watch preseason this year. Like, I always watch it, but this year it's going to be great. So,
Jerry, the rookie class, you know, I look for Aaron Robinson. Look, Ellison Smith, I think, is a kid that could do some things for them this year. Obviously, the number one pick, Kadarius Toney. We'll see, you know, he could make an impact. You know, he could even make an impact in special teams, Jerry, you know. And I expect him, you know, he's going to get his snaps and all, and he's going to get the ball, Jerry. He's going to get the ball one way or the other. I mean, during the course of a game, he's got to get some touches, this kid. You know, he's got to get touches, dude.
Right.
And we expect it in the slot, right? Maybe some outside. We expect some little gimmicks, as they call it, you know, with some jet sweeps or whatever it might be. Gadgets. Little gadgets, gimmicks, gadgets, you know. No, yeah,
he's not a gadget player.
Yeah, gadget guy. So, and then, you know, there's a little bubble screen. He's got to get the ball in his hands, you know. And nice. The rookie class. Look, Jerry, I think we talked about, for me, the kid is out of this rookie class, the draft class I'm talking about, who's going to make the biggest impact is going to be Aziz.
Yeah.
I think Aziz will. And I think Aaron Robinson is going to be second behind him. And then Toney third, Jerry. That's the way I have it right now.
Cool.
Who's going to make the biggest impact on the squad?
Wouldn't be surprised by any of that. All right, dude. Anything else you want to talk about before we get to questions? We're already a half hour in, believe it or not.
Are we? Boy, time flies. We're talking about it.
I know. Fun always talking to you, buddy. All right, guys. We will take a break, and then we'll get to your questions. Be right back. And we are back. All right, dude. So maybe it's, you know, early July, but lots of questions come in still. So presence was definitely missed last week. So thanks, everybody. For sending in the questions. Let's see. First off, we'll kick off Kerry Feliciano. What's up, gentlemen? Say hypothetically Saquon Barkley has 2,000 all-purpose yards, Giants win the division, and no quarterback breaks 40 passing yards. Sorry, 40 passing touchdowns. Do you think Saquon would win the MVP? If not, what kind of stats do you think he would need? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think all of that is awesome. I would love to just win the division, but... yeah, I'm sure if Barkley got 2,000 all-purpose yards, the Giants won the division, and no quarterback broke 40 touchdowns, yes, Barkley would be the guy.
He'll be in the running for sure.
A lot of scenarios there. Tony Thomas at Black Banjo Tony. What do you think is different about Judge compared to his predecessors? Oh, Chris, this is a layup for you, buddy.
Attention to detail.
Yeah.
Attention to detail.
Even with McAdoo.
Yeah, attention to detail.
McAdoo. Sorry.
Definitely more than Sherman, too. You know?
Both sides of the ball, right?
And yeah, his attention to detail, his knowledge of the game is second to none.
Yeah.
And you know what, Jerry? He was a pretty good game manager last year. Didn't complain about him. We used to complain about Sherman. McAdoo, forget about it at times. Yeah. Sherman, we complained 1,000. Why did he call timeout? Why did he do this? We didn't say that. I don't think we said that once. Maybe once last year Judge.
Not
right?
once. I don't think I said it once.
So
Shermer would challenge the That wasn't a 3-yard gain. That was a 5-yard gain.
The first quarter, with 11 minutes left to go in the first quarter of a nothing game.
Right. Booker Daniels, fellas, Vegas has the NYG as an 8-win team. Beyond uncertainty about Jones at quarterback and unforeseeable injuries, why do you think Vegas and others expects the team to be pretty average? P.S. Thanks for the bonus Bic clips this week, CBiz. You like that? CBiz, like A-Rod. Or A-Rob, sorry, like A-Rob.
I'm like A-Rod. Like A-Rob or A-Rod? Which one are you calling me?
A-Rod? It's like A-Rod.
A-Rod. I wish I had A-Rod's money. You know what I mean? I'll take that.
Yeah, it's the offensive line and Jones. That's it, right? I mean,
yeah. Look, there's doubt, right?
Yeah. So it's just the uncertainty with the line and Jones.
All right. Yeah, sure. I mean, they won 6 games last year. You know, and they take a few game jump. That's about right, Jerry.
Yeah, you know? Completely agree.
I like that number by Vegas. Yeah. If you're a betting man, take the over. I think they're going to win 9 games. I could be wrong, but I think they're going to win 9 games.
10-7. 11-6.
There you go. So take the over. Take the over.
Sorry. Take the over. Absolutely. Rich Redmond, great question. What's the wildest thing that's happened to you during a game? For me, it's Super Bowl 42. After the game-winning touchdown, my dad and I jumped to cheer, and he accidentally broke my nose.
Wow.
I sat with tissues in my nose till the clock said zero. Then we went to the ER. That is awesome.
That's great.
Chris, do you have anything from your days in the 70s?
No, I have no broken bone stories. The wildest thing? Nah, nothing like that. No stories like that. I mean, obviously just going crazy, stuff like that. But
lots of buffoonery for us pregame in the parking lot. A lot of stupidity.
Yeah.
The craziest thing for me at a game, it's the game related though. It was the snowball game. Like I just sat there and looked around at everyone. Like I cannot believe this is happening right now. And just watching people launch ice balls at both teams and at the marching band coming off the field. I thought we were at the vet for a second. So I would say of all the games, for some reason, that one's sticking in my head. So.
Right.
Crazy.
That is a great story though by Rich. Holy crap.
Yeah. Oh my God. Breaking your nose. That is hilarious.
Breaking your nose. That's great.
Let's see. Lane Pearson. Here we go. It's a great question. Knowing what we know now, would you rather have Quinnen Williams or Dexter Lawrence as your starting DT based on performance to date? Wow. That's a good question because we were literally just talking about Dexter Lawrence. Chris, I'll let you go first with that one.
Knowing what we know as of right now?
Yeah.
Probably Dexter. But I can see Q having a monster year this year. I can see him being the much better player in the long run. But as of right now, I would say Dexter.
Yes,
Q's been hurt.
Same.
Yeah, he played well at times last year. Quinnen Williams. He started flashing like they thought he would. Yeah. But right now, I would go with Dexter.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Joseph Janiscoli. I'm saying that name right? Chris, did I butcher it?
I don't know. What are you asking me for?
From The Sopranos.
What's the last name?
Janiscoli.
Oh, Vito, I don't know how you. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it. What?
Yeah, I'm just. I don't want to.
Joey G from Sopranos. Yeah, I don't want to mess up his last name. I'm not sure how to say it.
Who will the Giants play in the Super Bowl, Chris?
Who will the Giants play in the Super Bowl? They're gonna play. Oh God, I'm gonna say. The Buffalo Bills.
That's a good one. Nice. Good for you.
They knock
good
off pick. The Chiefs in the playoffs.
Good pick. Pretty cool when the Sopranos chime in, guys. Got to be honest with you. Not bad.
Vito from the Sopranos.
Pretty cool.
It'll be an all New York Super Bowl.
There you go. Good stuff. Easy peasy. Good morning, guys. What do you think is the one position group that DG is still looking to upgrade heading into camp? And who might be a target at either free agency or a trade? Do you think there's anyone, Chris?
No trade. If he'll upgrade somebody a late cut, I would imagine the offensive line. We're talking about late cuts now, right? We're talking about training camp cuts in September. So I would say offensive line.
Or you say heading into like now. I don't think there's anybody now. It's just going to be
now,
late cuts.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, yeah.
All right. Let's see. Here we go. Hunt for five at G-Men Pride 4. Two questions. Will Buffoon of the Week return this season? Things could get unpredictable now that Francesca's off the air. And two, what is the best pizza joint near both of you guys? Oh, I love that second question. Buffoon of the Week, I mean, we stopped doing it. It was seemed like it was kind of getting repetitive. It was the same people. Like right now, like Colin Coward would be the same, would be the Buffoon of the Year, you know, 52 weeks straight. So yeah, maybe, but probably not, guys. But Chris, I'll ask you, what's the, you know, you can go best pizza place near you, and then what's your favorite pizza place, Chris?
Well, my favorite, what, favorite pizza place of all time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking because you're pizza from Brooklyn.
About. Well, near me now.
Brooklyn and Staten Island. I mean, yeah, but near you now, but yeah, also then like where you grew up.
Now, well, Dino's on Staten Island is probably one of my favorites. Patsy's in Brooklyn. I mean, you know, in Manhattan.
What about Spumoni Gardens?
Spumoni Gardens when I was a kid. Yeah, that was like tops. That was good tops when I was a kid. Now, is it called Lambertville? Liberty Station by my house and not far from me. That's pretty good. There's a few good ones now. You know? So, another place called Gabby's, believe it or not. A little hole in the wall joint. So
cool.
And yours has got to be
DiLorenzo's.
Your boy's there.
Yeah, DiLorenzo's.
I haven't eaten that yet. I haven't.
Oh, really?
I still haven't had that yet. Yeah, no, I haven't eaten that yet. Everybody says how great it is, man.
Yeah, it's favorite all time, and then close by me too. So,
yeah.
I mean, I worked there for a long time, and it's by far, I think, my favorite. Lisa at So Bad Six. Who do you think will be our defensive player of the year? Who will be the most improved, and who will just not be what we expect? Your opinions, please. I'll go first. Defensive player of the year for us. I think Leonard Williams has ascended, and he's going to continue to do so. So I think he'd be our best defensive player with a close running McKinney. So maybe, I don't know if you call him most improved because he didn't really play last year. Most improved, I'm going to say, who Chris said before, O'Shane Zimmon is. He's got a lot to prove. And put it this way, I'll throw this out there. It wouldn't surprise me if Zimenez was the most improved or if he was cut. And I know that's kind of a wide range, but because of everything they added, neither would surprise me. So he's got the talent. He's just got to put it together. So I'm going to stick with he's the most improved. And who will just not be what we expect? I don't know. That's a tough one, Lisa. I'm expecting a lot this year. So I don't want to go there with the last one. I don't know. I don't want to downplay anybody.
Why not? All right. Well, I'm gonna give you an answer. I think the most valuable, probably Leo again. I agree with you. I think he continues his play at that level.
Yeah.
I think right next to Leo, though, right behind Leo for the best play is going to be Pepis.
Oh, good one. Yeah, sure.
Most improved. I'm gonna go. Most improved. I'll go. Well, Dex was pretty good last year. I'm going to go with Dex as most improved. I think Dex takes it to another level. Hmm. And a guy that we expect a lot that might not pan out, Jerry, Adoree Jackson.
I just thought of it. That's awesome. That's a great one. I was like, he's going to say it. He's going to say that's a really good one.
I'm a little worried. I got to be honest with you. I'm a little worried he doesn't pan out like we think he's going to pan out.
So you think Aaron Robinson was just as much of a insurance policy?
No. Okay. It's just that's just an example
best player,
of
best player.
You know, okay. You can never have enough corners. Okay. That's the way it is in this league. You can never have enough corners. No, I had nothing to do with Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
I just think Adoree, I'm just concerned that Adoree isn't the guy a lot of people think he's gonna be this year.
All right. That's a good one, Chris. Just was thinking about it.
I just look at him and say, I hope he's the player, that, you know, but I'm a little concerned that he's not the player they think he, you know, they're getting.
Hands at the D underscore, I'm sorry. Yeah, the underscore D underscore Isolant. Hey, fellas, as somebody who lives in Chicago, in the Chicago market, thanks for keeping me up to date on all things Giants. I'm curious, do you guys see Saquon used more like Zeke in Garrett's offense, or do you see him running a similar amount of routes he did before? So do you think he'll use him more like Zeke, like out of the backfield, or...
Let him be healthy 1 year under Garrett. You know, Jerry, he only had him a couple of games.
Yeah.
You know? So I think, yeah, he'll, you know, you'll see the screens and, you know, stuff like that, you know, and obviously, you know, getting his touches. So, yeah, you're going to see him use a lot like Zeke. No question about it. Nobody knows because he got hurt in what, second game of the year last year?
Mm.
You know? So
yep.
Let him play 16, or now 17 under Jason Garrett. I think you'll see a lot of similarities.
Kyle Johnson. I was just thinking today, I hasn't chimed in.
Kyle, I noticed you've been pretty quiet about the Yankees. No wise guy comments, no wise guy tweets about the Red Sox. I noticed that. I wonder why. Yeah, what's his question, Jerry? I'm sure it's not Yankee related. Go ahead.
I didn't see his first one, but he said also, so I'm going with this one. Who is your starting secondary and wide receivers? So, Chris, so regular defense, two safeties, two corners. Who's your starting secondary?
Pep, Ryan, Adoree, and James Bradbury.
All right, now,
basic four?
No, I'm asking. Yes.
Oh, you're asking. I thought it was Kyle Johnson.
No, Kyle said who's the starting secondary, but I'm throwing in all the scenarios, right? So nickel, who comes into the slot?
Well, we'll see in that battle. Right now, you know, you see Donnie, some plays to be X in the slot. You know, it'll be a lot of versatility.
All right.
It's no set thing, man. No set thing.
All right, what about wide receivers? Who's the starting wideouts?
When they go 11,
yeah.
You know, it'll be Shep, Slayton, and obviously Kenny Golladay.
All right.
When they go 11.
All right.
And then as it, you know, then there's other plays, you know, Tony's in there and all that.
Nice.
But I don't see Tony getting 50 snaps, Jerry, while Slayton or Shep get 30. You know, I don't see that happening. Right. No way.
Chris, no longer in St. Pete. What do-over would you do with the Giants over the last few years? Like drafting Saquon at 2, hiring McAdoo, sticking with Eli in his twilight, getting rid of Odell, blah, blah, blah. If you could have one do-over, Chris, one, what would you do?
I would have kept Odell.
Wow. All right, I'm going to give you one. It's going to be unpopular. Well,
You would have cut Eli Manning.
No, but thank you. Like, aside from not hiring McAdoo, that's too easy, right? Like, that's an easy one.
Well, let's not forget McAdoo was a playoff coach his first year, buddy.
Yeah, but I think of all of them, you know what I would have done? If I was sitting there at number 2 in 2018 again.
Not Jeff Barkley.
It's going to be awfully hard to not take Josh Allen. You know, knowing what we know now, or even trading down and taking Quentin Nelson, right? Like, I don't know. I would have got more, knowing what we know now. And look, Barkley could run for 2,000, then all of a sudden, what would you do? Nothing different, because Barkley just ran for 2,000. But knowing what we know now, on July, whatever it is, 7th, 2021, if I'm picking second and I know what Josh Allen's become, I either take him or I'm trading down, getting more and taking like a Quentin Nelson. So that would have been what I did differently. So
you know what, Jerry? That would be my 1A, drafting Quentin Nelson. Instead of Barkley, yes.
Yep. Yeah, Quentin Nelson's just ridiculous.
You know what, Jerry? I didn't even think about that until you just brought it up. That would be like
Golden
my
Domer, Chris. I'm not sure if you know this, but Quentin Nelson's a Golden Domer.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, I did hear that.
Kyle Cass. Hey, guys. Great work as always on the podcast. If you're an NFL head coach, what would you rather have? A defensive line that wreaks havoc with just a front four or a great sec? Okay, so a defensive line that wreaks havoc or a great secondary that can lock down an opponent's best wide receivers. I'll hang up and listen. It's a good question because it's the opposite of the way – it's almost like this defense is built the opposite of the way the one in 2007 was, right? 2007, you had good corners, but you had Sam Madison and Webster, but it was the line that wreaked havoc. This one, it's almost like you have the secondary that could be incredible aside, you know, Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence, but not that type of pass rushing that you had in 07. So, Chris, if you could have one or the other, which would you have?
Without question, a defensive line that wreaks havoc.
Yeah.
Because the defensive line that wreaks havoc can make an average secondary look good. Like you just said, Jerry, you just pointed it out right there.
Yeah, I know.
And who do they have in 07, Jerry?
Sam Madison Aaron Ross and a young Corey Webster.
R.W. McCorders.
R.W. McCorders, right? Too. Right, right.
I mean, they were James nice Butler, players.
Jabril Wilson, yeah.
They were nice players, wow. Jerry, but if they didn't get to the quarterback up front, those guys would have got lit up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, right? You could have all your best cover corners you want. If you're not getting to the quarterback, if he's standing in that pocket all day, somebody's getting open, brother. You can't stick with these top flight receivers for more than 5 seconds. You know, somebody's going to get open. So, yeah, I would definitely have. I want the defensive line that's all over the quarterback, blasting them all game, 3-4 sacks, the whole deal.
You think about the 11 team, and there were so many times late in the season. And I don't know if it was because of miscommunication or what, but you had, you know, Antrell Roll, a first-round pick, Kenny Phillips, a first-round pick, Aaron Ross, a first-round pick, Corey Webster, a second-round pick. You still had high picks back there, but the reason they won that Super Bowl was because of the front seven, right? O.C. Umanure, Justin Tuck came on at the end of that year, right? Like, so, you know, to me, I agree with you, dude. I'd rather have – I'm excited about this secondary, but I'd rather have the pass rushing that just obliterates quarterbacks and offensive line, and that's it's a no-brainer for me, like I think it is for you,
hey,
too.
Hey, yeah, hey. Yeah. Everybody saw what happened to Mahomes last Super Bowl, right?
Right. Yep.
Right? Mahomes was under pressure the whole game. His offensive line was all banged up. The guys were out. And Mahomes was running for his life in the Super Bowl. How did that work out for Tampa Bay?
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
Right.
Totally shut down the Chiefs.
Yep. All right, we'll go a few more. I'm trying to find some good ones. Aaron Rodgers at Super Dirt McGee.
Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh. Alan.
Yeah. Between Solder, Fulton, and Harrison, which one has the best chance to earn a starting job?
Nate Solder.
By a mile, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about him. Yeah, but I would say Nate Solder. I don't know about by a mile.
No.
I would say Nate Solder.
All right. I'm going to ask this one because of what you just said before, one of the regrets. The Fighting Joe Judges. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Missed you guys last week. Thanks, buddy. Do you think Odell has a longer, shorter, or same career with the Giants if Joe Judge is his coach? # asking for a friend.
If Joe Judge was his coach, I'm sure it would be the same, Odell.
Yeah?
I'm sure Odell would be the same.
Really? Okay. Think he has a longer career? I don't know.
It's tough with Odell, man. It's tough to say with Odell. Yeah. I'm not sure Odell conforms the way. I guess that's where that question is geared, like would he conform more on the Judge. I think Judge would just probably launch him too, like, you know, like they did, you know, if he didn't, if Odell was getting a little crazy at times, you know.
All right, we'll go two more because I love this question. Kevin Gill at Cade Gill 29. Hey, guys, we seem to have a lot of linebackers fighting for spots this season. I literally just named them all. Who makes the final roster first? And does Carter Coughlin get moved up to D-end? Because there's a chance of that happening. So who would make the final roster? I think they all would. I don't think you're cutting any of them. I don't think Cam Brown's getting cut or anyone like that.
That's a question to be answered at the end of August. You know, let's see how camp goes, you know.
But any shot of Carter Coughlin being moved to a D-end type?
No. Man. No, I mean, not that he won't line up as maybe a one, you know, on the outside, on the edge and all that. We've seen that before. But as a defensive end, no.
All right, last one. Big Blue Bobby. Name the two emotional leaders you think will emerge this year on both sides of the ball.
You want me to go or you go, Jerry?
You go. I know, one on defense. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Pep on defense. And you know what? Emotional leader on offense. I'm gonna go with the return of Saquon. I'm gonna go with Saquon.
Exactly who I was going with. Yeah. I mean, look, it's because like Kenny Galladay's new. I don't know what type. I don't think he's a fiery player. I have no idea.
Saquon gets fiery. Yeah. You know Saquon. He gets fiery, man. You know Saquon. He's leaping on the sidelines. He's welcoming guys off the field. You know, he's just Saquon's got that fire in him, man. He brings that energy, man.
You know what? I said we were done. Let me go one more. Joey Z at Molten Centra. Chris, if you could interview Joe Judge with him being 100% honest, what do you think he would tell you his biggest mistake was as a rookie head coach? It's a good question.
His biggest mistake as a rookie head coach.
It's a good question.
That's a good question. What he would tell me?
Yeah.
I think he would tell me that they weren't mentally prepared for that 49er game.
That's a really good point because he got outcoached, outplayed, out everything in that one.
I think he felt the team was not mentally prepared for that game. He might say that.
What about the Arizona game too? Do you think that one too?
Arizona game. Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know.
Because when he went up against some of the younger good coaches that where the teams were more talented, we got blasted. We talked about it last year. Browns, Cardinals, Niners, right? When he went against, you know, like I never thought Pete Carroll was a great coach. I never felt like he was outcoached all year. But those three games, you thought, you know, those are good young coaches. I'm not saying they're outcoaching him, but that team is way more talented than we are.
Yeah.
When you couple them together, they just turned into just a mess, those games.
Yeah. Yeah. He would probably honestly say, I listened to Garrett with Mark Colombo, and I shouldn't have. I should have went with my own guy.
That's a good one.
And, you know, I did not feel – I'm acting like I'm Judge talking right now.
Yeah, sure.
Answer my question, you know. And I did not feel he was the right fit here, and they didn't progress under him. And I think I made a mistake hiring Colombo.
There you go.
And obviously, I think it's safe to say that Garrett influenced that a little bit. And I shouldn't have, you know, as a first year coach, I should have went with the guy. Maybe he might have had a guy originally with something, you know, maybe a guy he wanted to go to. And I'm not going to make that mistake again. In year two, I'm going with whoever the hell I'm going to go with. And I'll listen, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nice.
And I think he might say something like that. Not 100%, but I'm just trying to be honest with Ansi here. What he might say.
It's a great answer. All right, dude. Anything else?
No, that's it, man. We'll be here every week. There'll be no more skipper weeks now.
Nope, we're good. And then we'll go back to two eventually.
Yeah, when the season starts or towards the end of camp, whatever it might be, you know.
Yeah.
Probably towards the end of camp or when camp's rolling, right, Jerry? I guess we'll start going to two.
Yeah, because you're going to have a lot to say.
Yeah, people are going to want to hear what the hell's going on. The preseason games this year and all that, you know.
Yep.
So what is the first game, Jerry? The Jets?
I think the first preseason game? Usually it's the third, but it's not going to be. I think it's the first.
I think they changed that, right?
Yeah.
I know New England's the last one this year. So, all right. Anyway, Jets or the Browns are the first game. I forget which one it is. I think it might be the Jets at home.
Jets are first. August 14th, so. Jets. Yep.
Jets, right. Okay. Then it's the Browns, and then it's the New England, and then they roll. So, all right, good then, stuff. Brother. So, we'll talk again next week. We'll try to line up a few special guests. We'll see how that works out. You know, people on vacations, they're busy, you know, but we'll see how that works out, you know.
If we work the phones right, the way we think we have, we'll see.
Yeah, so. Hopefully we'll get some special guests in here before training camp starts or even during camp to tell us what they're seeing, right?
Yeah.
And it should be good. I think people will like it, so.
Good stuff. All right, guys, we print Friday. We're printing a little early this week. And then we don't print again for, I think, another 3 weeks. So we'll keep you updated on that. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R, and download The Giant Insider app from the App Store. All right, guys, be well. Remember, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.